The European Patent Office podcasts bring you an insight into the technology and innovation shaping the world.
According to estimates from the World Health Organization, cancer is one of the leading causes of death before the age of 70 in over 100 countries. Worldwide, almost 20 million new cancer cases and almost 10 million cancer deaths occurred in 2020 alone, with the cancer burden expected to increase further in the coming decades. Thus, it comes as no surprise that the global cancer therapy market surpassed $150 billion in 2020 and is expected to double by the end of the decade. Startups and universities play a significant role in this market since they are often the first to develop new diagnostic approaches, new drugs and therapies, and work closely together to conduct research and clinical trials. Therefore, the EPO has developed a new set of innovation case studies of 3 case studies in total to highlight the importance of good IP management and smart IP strategies to facilitate the exploitation and commercialization of novel technologies to fight cancer. In today's podcast, we will learn more about a new type of cancer therapy that has been on the rise in recent years, the so-called cancer immunotherapy. One of the superpowers, if one can actually say so, of cancer, which makes it so dangerous and sadly so often fatal, is its ability to circumvent the immune system's defenses. Thus, treatments activating a person's own immune system are a particularly suitable strategy to fight this disease. Against this backdrop, the case study we will talk about in a minute tells the story of a visionary immunologist spending much of his scientific career in cancer research and a biotech engineer with a lot of business experience, and both of them teamed up to bring a new technology platform for vaccine development for cancer treatment to the market. You may ask yourself, how did those two, coming from two words, actually meet? And how does this platform work exactly? And did it work out in the end? Well, lucky us, we are about to find out right away, because with me here today is one of the authors of the case study, Ms. Adela Dvorakova, who has written the case study together with Bohman Heiden, who is co-director of the Center for Intellectual Property in Gothenburg, Sweden. Adela is an IP expert currently working with the European Research Executive Agency, and she has extensive experience in advising companies on IP and business-related issues. So we're more than happy to have her on board for today's episode. My name is Stephanie Weber. I'm a member of the European Intellectual Property Help Desk, and I can now hardly wait any longer to talk to her and learn more about this interesting case. Welcome, Adela. It's a pleasure to have you here with us today.
Thank you, Stephanie, for the invitation.
So as I mentioned in the beginning, at the core of this case is a new technology that strives to help us fight cancer. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Yes, indeed. So currently, there are several types of therapies that are actually available for the treatment of cancer. We have these, let's say, more traditional approaches like the radio and chemotherapy that can be quite effective, but they have actually an important drawback. And that is that they basically hit the body with a very systemic attack. And that means that not only the cancer cells, but also healthy cells can get destroyed. And then we have immunotherapies that you already very nicely introduced in your introduction. And immunotherapies, they actually regulate the immune system in order to help it to kill the cancer with its own means. And these therapies are actually very effective, but they again have, let's say, quite important side effects. One of the major problems of the currently available immunotherapies is that they can cause sometimes very strong immune system overreaction that is not specific, because they are not really targeted enough. And that means that they stimulate the immune system in a way that they provoke also reactions that are not really desirable and that can be very harmful for the body. And this is exactly where this technology is bringing a major contribution, because what this technology does is that it delivers an antigen to specific immune system cells. And like this, it provokes a very targeted and effective immune system response without these overreactions that I just described. and also without, at least in the preclinical trials, any observed side effects.
Well, that sounds indeed very promising. And I read in the case study, it has a complex title. It's the Specific Total Immune Remodulation Platform. How did it all start? Who are the minds behind this technology?
Well, there are two main minds behind this technology. And that Dr. Gert Mude, he's a scientist and the main inventor of this platform. You rightly said that it has a very complex name, but we can also simplify it and shorten it and call it ESTIR. So it's called the ESTIR platform. And the other mind behind the business is Christoph Langer, who also has biotech background, but he's more of the businessman. So they actually quite nicely complement their competencies and they form a good team together. They got together, well, around the year 2010, if I'm not wrong. And actually, Christoph told us the story of how they met. I think that this is quite a nice story. They met in a coffee shop in Vienna. And they had, indeed. And they
One
had,
of the napkin stories where great ideas are sort of, you know, penciled and written on a napkin. And then
Exactly. And they had more or less 2 hours long meeting where Gerd was, of course, explaining to Christoph all the technical details about this technology. And Christoph then said, and that's a literal citation, he said, after 2 hours, I could more or less understand what this technology is about.
Okay.
But what he, of course, understood immediately that is that Gerd has something very interesting and it's something that has really a lot of potential. And so at the end of this meeting, they decided to start a business together and they started their first company that is called S-Target Therapeutics. And a few years later, they spun off another company from S-Target that is called OncoCure. And the reason for that is that they actually quite early on could get a proof that this technology is not only suitable for the treatment of cancer, but it's also suitable for the treatment of allergies. And for that reason, they actually started two relatively separate businesses, one for the allergy business, and that is S-Target, and one for the cancer business, and that's OncoCure.
Well, I mean, this sounds like a particularly smart move, especially since we all know that in this biotech market, it often takes a long time and thus also money to actually bring new technologies and products to the market. And it seems that by that, they actually sort of broadened their chances and opportunities. How did they actually go about it? Maybe you can tell us a little bit more about it.
You're absolutely right, Stephanie. I think that this is the major challenge in the biotech field, that it can really take many years before the final product can actually reach the market. And what Gerd and Christoph have done is that they made use of a specific feature of their technology, and that is that it is modular. So I will just briefly describe the technology so that you can better imagine it. The technology is composed of 2 modules. There is, let's say, generic module that they call the warhead. And the warhead can be connected via a specific connector with an immunogen. And the immunogen can have different compositions. And depending on the composition of the immunogen, you can actually use this technology to treat different types of cancer and different types of diseases. I already mentioned the allergies as well. On this basis, they have created a technology platform. So the core of the technology platform is this generic module that actually never changes, that stays the same. Plus, they, of course, have a lot of, you know-how and data around it and so on. And this platform, they use by themselves to develop one type of treatment, so that they develop a vaccine by themselves for the treatment of breast cancer. But they can also license out this platform to other companies so that they, in parallel, can be developing other types of vaccines for other diseases. And this is actually a very smart way how they could, let's say, multiply the pathways towards product commercialization. And as you said, increase their chances that the vaccine will actually reach the market once.
And you've talked already about the business model and summed up the benefits. So this seems indeed to be quite a smart business model. Looking at the IP management, what have been important decisions that they took in that regard? What have been key building blocks of their IP strategy?
Their IP strategy actually very well supports their platform-based business model. And I think this is something that is very important to stress, that the IP strategy should be designed in a way that it supports the business case. And that's exactly what Gerd and Christoph have done here. The main building block is, I would say, the protection of the warhead as such and of the connector. So they have three very strong patents that protect the platform as such, so the core of the technology, and that allows them to, you know, make use of this platform and use it to attract additional financing and licensing revenues and so on. But at the same time, they use another option that would not be completely necessary. This additional option gives them actually the possibility to extend the patent protection of the vaccine as such, so of the final product, beyond the life of the patents that protect the warhead. So it's a little bit an additional option that allows them to have even a stronger patent protection.
Yeah, it seems to me, so from what I've heard, I mean, you've talked with the inventors, they really seem to be very forward-thinking and also thinking into different directions. And I think that also is displayed in a very smart and multi-layered licensing strategy that they came up with. Can you tell us a bit more about it?
Yes, indeed. I think this is a very good point, actually, because licensing is, in my opinion, a particularly interesting aspect in this case study. In this case, Gert and Christoph again could make the best use of the modularity of their technology. And what they do is that they offer three basic types of licenses. Mm-hmm. The first one is, I would say, the most important one, and that is a license to the platform as such, further vaccine development. So this is a license that is given on an exclusive basis for the use with a specific immunogen. So it's okay. Exclusive licensing, but let's say in a very narrowly and specifically defined field. Then they also have product licensing, so they can license out complete products, again, for further development or commercialization. And then they also have non-commercial research licenses that can give them the additional benefit of maybe collecting some further evidence or more data about the technology, even an improvement of the warhead. But what I think that is very important here to stress, you can imagine that this technology is very complex. Even for a specialist, it can be very difficult to actually produce the vaccine only on the basis of reading of the patent. And for that reason, they include in their licensing contracts not only the patents as such, but also additional information, know-how. They disclose some processes and so on. They give even support for manufacturing. So basically what they give is a comprehensive technology transfer license. Because only like this, the licensees actually have the chance to produce the vaccine by themselves from A to Z.
Yeah. No, I do agree. I think it's a very important point. And what I found interesting in what you've mentioned beforehand is that they, in relation to the non-commercial research licenses, that they are very much open and, of course, are interested in developing their technology further. And I think there's one particular point that struck me also in the case study, that they also introduced this kind of back licensee system. Could you elaborate a little bit more on that? Because I found that also, again, quite a smart move.
Yes, indeed. I can see that you have read the case study very well. Here we are getting to my favorite point, actually. They have introduced a really smart system when they include in every license a specific clause that states that when the licensee introduces any kind of improvement of the warhead, so on the basic technology of the warhead, he has to make this technology available also to other licensees and other users of the platform, including, of course, Astarget and OncoCure. So like this, they actually effectively create a kind of platform of open innovation. So I think that this is a very interesting and smart element. And it actually proved to be very useful for them already, because this allowed them to make already several improvements on the warhead. And it also proved to be quite useful for negotiations. So it's a really smart thing to do.
So apparently, I mean, they've taken quite a number of wise decisions. What have been major challenges you think the company faced? Also, when you talked to them, what did they, you know, point out as major hurdles that they had to overcome? And how did they do it?
Well, I think that the major challenge here is, of course, getting the finances. Mm. We already touched upon it, that this is actually the biggest problem in biotech in general, that the product development can take many years. And the company has to, you know, survive this stage somehow. And they also have to get a lot of investment so that they can finance all the trials that are necessary to get the regulatory approval. So this is for sure the biggest challenge that they were facing, and they are still facing, actually. It's an ongoing journey.
Yeah, we'll come to that in a minute. But since we're talking about funding and finances, what are options? I mean, you know the field, you're an expert in advising also inventors on business-related aspects. What are funding options for young companies, specifically also in this biotech field?
Well, there would be several options. There would be those options that OncoCure and DesTarget have actually very successfully used, and that is research grants and licensing. So they were actually able to finance their preclinical trials based on this. So those are very valid and, of course, very useful options. But then there would be other options like engaging a venture capitalist, for example, engaging a business angel, which can also, well, that can be actually a complete turnaround for a company like this. But on the other hand, there are also disadvantages, like you lose a little bit of the autonomy and so on. So I think that one has to really consider the pros and cons of different options. And then the last option that is worth mentioning here is also collaboration with a big pharma company. So that would also be, I would say, a natural step for a company like OncoCure at this stage. The problem here is that the entry barrier is a little bit higher here. So you usually have to have a really strong proof of concept to convince a company like this to start a collaboration with you. But I think that to sum up, I would say that all these options are valid and all should be considered. But I would say that it also depends a lot on in which stage the company actually currently is.
Okay.
So I would say there is, for each stage, there is an appropriate source of funding.
Well, that sums it up quite nicely. We've now traced the story of the technology so nicely. And now I'm really interested hearing more about where does the company and also, the technology platform stand today and also what might be next?
Well, I would say that they have overcome a lot of hurdles until now. But I think that there are still quite a lot of hurdles ahead of them. So it's a journey that is not yet finished. And until now, they managed to successfully pass the preclinical trials with quite outstanding results, I would say. But the next challenge that is ahead of them now is to get the results of the clinical phase one trials. But I think that, I would say we can be quite optimistic because, they have those several products in the pipeline thanks to the smart business strategy that they have come up with. And so I think we can be optimistic that they are on a good track and that their vaccines will eventually reach the patients.
Yeah. Well, fingers crossed, because, it does seem like a really breakthrough innovation, and imagine, how it could save so many lives. And unfortunately, I just already pointed to it, time's been flying. So maybe just to wrap up our conversation, which has been really inspiring, let me briefly summarize a few points, takeaways for our listeners. So as I understood that in a specific sector, in this biotech sector, time to market is particularly long and can be a bumpy ride. You need a lot of money. And as you said and really pointed out, a strong IP portfolio helps attract investment and additional funding to actually make you able to go that long way. And the second takeaway for me, which I found very important and which you mentioned, is that technology transfer is not just about giving a license to a patent, but that you really have to look at the technology as a whole, and there's know-how involved and support from inventors might be needed to be actually able to use the technology. So as you so rightly pointed out, the licensing agreement becomes a very valuable one when you consider and include these aspects too. Adela, is there anything else that you would like to add? Any recommendations for companies at this early stage of their journey?
I think, Stephanie, that you have summarized the main takeaways very well. What I would like to add to it is that I think that this case is a really great example of how IP can help the company to kind of keep control over the technology and create different options. So I think that this is quite safe to say that without IP, they wouldn't have those different pathways towards commercialization that they currently have. So if I were to give a recommendation, I would say create an IP strategy and secure IP protection early on in order to diversify, let's say, the portfolio of commercial possibilities for you.
That's excellent. Thank you so much, Adela, for sharing your experience and insights and these valuable recommendations with us. As anticipated at the beginning of this podcast, let me give you a brief overview of the other two new studies related to cancer. For a full account, kindly turn to the EPO dedicated site, epo.org/case-studies, where all three have just been published and can be downloaded. The first case study is about Damier Medical, a spin-out from the French Institut d'Optique Graduate School, which has taken a patented imaging technology to create a new medical device for real-time diagnosis of skin cancer. Skin cancer has become a major health issue around the world. Damé's optical biopsy solution provides a non-invasive way for the early detection of malignant tumors. A strong IP portfolio, again, also here, consisting of patents, trademarks, know-how, and design rights, helps the company to ensure technological exclusivity and secure a lasting advantage over competitors, as we've heard, so important specifically in this area. The second case study explains how the collaboration between two professors from Trinity College Dublin and University College Dublin resulted in a new multi-parameter prognostic test for early-stage breast cancer, which they called OncoMaster. This test aids clinicians in confidentially determining the best treatment options, reducing the need for unnecessary chemotherapy with associated adverse side effects for thousands of women diagnosed with breast cancer. OncoMart, a company founded by one of the inventors, licensed the technology and subsequently developed and validated the test, which led to an acquisition of the company by a large US firm. Sounds like a great success story to me. So there's much more for you to explore and read. And if you've enjoyed listening to this conversation and want to gain even more perspectives on innovation and IP, check out our other EPO Talk Innovation podcast episodes. But for today, thanks for tuning in and goodbye.
Subscribe to the European Patent Office's podcast channel, Talk Innovation, at epo.org or on your favorite podcast platform. Let's talk innovation.